Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Got Scott Jennings coming up here. Ethan's going to get him on the line. But we do have some more information with the shooting at Brown University. So a couple of things are happening here. And I don't know how many people were dialed into the fact that there was a professor at MIT in Brookline, Massachusetts, who was murdered on Monday night. And at first, you know, these two things were being reported as separate instances. Well, now they are saying that there might be, they're not saying definitively, but they're investigating whether there was a connection to the killing earlier this week of the MIT professor, according to some people that were briefed that are not authorized to speak. So this is anonymous sourcing by the New York Times and other outlets. They say they're searching for the individual and a car that the person is believed to have rented. The authorities have not publicly identified the suspect in either case. They believe the rented vehicle is the same make and model of a car identified at the MIT shooting. So that's kind of interesting. And then there is a report that says, this is all new here, that there is an arrest warrant that has been signed for the potential suspect. The other thing that I heard is that, you remember what happened yesterday, Sue, is they released all this new video of a guy who they said might have been in close proximity of the shooter. We don't think this guy's the shooter, but maybe he knows something about the shooter. Well, apparently they located him.
Yes.
And they have interviewed him. But now it seems like they're taking this, you know, a step further. But what I found fascinating here is that they're connecting this with MIT. Because when I heard about it, I think a lot of people would have this human reaction. When you hear about that, you sort of put the two things together. Wow, you got, you know, elite universities, Ivy League schools, and there's murders. The one at Brown, we're going to find out more, but it seems like it was pretty targeted, right?
Yeah, it does.
I don't think he was just going in there and trying to shoot up the whole classroom, but we don't know because they haven't released information, even what he said before he did the shooting. So here's ABC reporting. This says law enforcement officials have identified a possible suspect in connection with the mass shooting. They've issued a warrant for the arrest. This comes after multiple sources briefed on the investigation told ABC News that the Brown shooting and the murder of an MIT professor may be linked.
So, interesting.
Yeah, that's the very latest on that. This is one of those situations where we may know even more before we wrap up the show here this afternoon. Speaking of which, we'll have at the bottom of the hour, Jane Duker will be here. She's going to be on the roundtable tomorrow. Big political news locally. Sam Page, the current king of St. Louis County, is not going to run for re-election for county executive. You might remember that Jane herself tried to unseat Sam the last time around. No one else wanted to try, so she gave it her best shot.
Exactly.
But this is big because he's just been such a terrible executive.
Oh, and now we're in debt.
And he's probably going to get, you know, indicted.
Well,
it's a mess. But she'll join us at the bottom of the hour, talk about that. We, of course, have a roundtable tomorrow with Jane, former state senators John Lamping and Jeff Smith, Paul Hall on entertainment. Frank Cusimano will have sports. And then Greg Coase in the 5 o'clock hour. He's a documentary filmmaker. And his movie, Song Sung Blue, from 15 years ago, is about to be released as a major motion picture starring Hugh Jackman and Kate Hudson and a bunch of others. So Greg's going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour tomorrow. Right now, we are back. We are graced with his presence one more time before the end of the year. Scott Jennings with his best-selling book, A Revolution of Common Sense, is out there on the New York Times list. He, of course, is a regular on this show and 97.1 FM Talk political insider. Jennings, how are you? Merry Christmas.
Mark, Merry Christmas. I'm great. Thanks for mentioning the fact that I did make the New York Times bestseller list. With no help from Fox News, I might add. They literally would not promote my book, and I'm a little salty about it. They play clips of me all day. No help with the book, but we made the list anyway.
I will tell you that I lobbied Brian Kilmeade and his producer for his radio show at the very least. You might remember I filled in on that show about a year and a half ago, but they said they'd love to have you, but Fox would probably not think it was a good idea. So that's unfortunate. But look, you're selling plenty of books without the help of Fox, right?
Yeah, I'm out here doing it guerrilla style. I'm in the streets. I'm out here fighting coast to coast, city to city. I've been in Michigan, California, Texas, Florida, New York, Washington, Pennsylvania, Ohio, all over, buddy. I'm out here selling books one at a time, in it.
Well, and you know, it's a major fail on my part. We really wanted to get you here, and I think we still can, but we had some resources issue, you know, to get a book deal or a book signing in December, but we're still going to work on that as we move forward. But we should mention, of course, A Revolution of Common Sense, How Donald Trump Stormed Washington and Fought for Western Civilization would be a fine gift underneath the tree this holiday season. I hope to God you get some time with the family here in the next couple of weeks, Jennings. Do you at least get that?
Yeah, I'm home today. I've got a little bit more TV to do before Christmas hits. But yeah, I'm going to get a few days at home. And I've pre-recorded and pre-loaded some interviews for the radio show. So I have not slept in my own bed much at all.
Oh, the last I can imagine.
Couple of months or this year. And I'm looking for a little bit of downtime over Christmas so I can see the boys.
Well, if you would do me a huge favor since you're home, you know, I mentioned this maybe the last time we spoke, that something would be arriving at your home that's sort of a gift from St. Louis. This Tom Curtis, who does this book folding, he made one for the Mark Reardon Show. And as soon as I got that in the spring, I'm like, I knew your book was coming. I'm like, oh, we got to get one of these done for Jennings. So, Tom, I think you responded to him and thanked him, but he would love to have a picture of you with the book folding, if that's possible, because he was super excited to do that for you.
Yeah, I did get it. It's really cool, and I did send him a note. But I will take I'm going to go home and I'll take a picture and I'll send it to you.
Yes.
And you can pass it on. But it's a cool thing. Like it, I don't know how to explain it, but it like puts the image of your book on these folded pages. And anyway, it's sitting in my living room.
It's awesome. Very unique. Yeah, I had never seen anything like it until he surprised the show with one. So I thought it was cool. All right, let's get into some politics now. I haven't heard you today on this. Dude, I thought that speech was really bad last night.
Bad? Here's the deal. He had to give it in 20 minutes, or I don't think the networks were going to take it.
I know.
So that meant he had to rush a little. And, you know, he's never been the world's greatest teleprompter speaker. That's not his best venue. So you put him on a prompter, which he doesn't like, and then you tell him to speed up and get it under 20 minutes, which he probably didn't like. The most important thing he said was the first thing he said. We inherited a mess, and I am fixing it. I mean, part of the argument here is you're going to have to give me a little bit of forbearance. I mean, you don't understand how bad it was when we got here. I interviewed Kevin Hassett, the president's top economic advisor, yesterday on the radio show at the White House, and he was telling me, I mean, our economy was on the brink, and so it wasn't like they just inherited a little bit of a little problem. They were in a mess, and that's what Trump said. So I think that was the most important thing. But he's going to have to get out there and define the terms of the election. That was the purpose of the speech.
Well, to your point, and I said this the last couple of days, you know, I always refer to this as there's teleprompter Trump, and then there's, you know, off the prompter Trump. And a lot of times there's like a mix in between. I think that's what he does on the campaign style. And it just works better for him when he can shine with the personality. I felt like there was so much, you know, and it's a time crunch. It interfered with my Survivor finale last night, Jennings. So I know why they were trying to do that. But I didn't think it was the president's finest moment. What Susie Wiles in that interview, I don't think it's the most damaging thing that we've seen in this administration, but what do you make of that? I don't know if you have a relationship with her. I've been impressed by what I know about her, you know, and she kind of stays behind the scenes, but it's confusing to us, to a lot of people, why she would even sit down with Chris Whipple from Vanity Fair.
Well, here's the thing. I do know her. She's tough. She's blunt. She's candid. She has the trust of the president, and she's not going anywhere. That's number one. Number two, I'll be honest. I interpreted that interview as sometimes the chief of staff gets to say things or needs to say things that the president can't say. And so if I were somebody that she mentioned in that interview, I might take a look at that and think about it. And some of the things were just more towel snaps. But, you know, look, she's the chief. The president trusts her. And if she has something to say about your job performance, you need to pay attention to that. I actually like the transparency. I was with the author, Chris Whipple, the guy who did the interviews on TV the other night, and he said, you know, when you tried to talk to the Biden people about anything, it's, well, it has to be off the record. You can't use my name. You have to send me my quotes for approval. I mean, it was so opaque what they were doing in there with Trump and with Wiles. You know, love it or hate it, they will open the kimono and let you see right inside.
Well, and I like that, too. But, you know, there's a big difference, and you would know this, between reading the piece, which I did, and then I can't help myself these days because I leave the station, I turn on Aaron Burnett, and they're obsessed with this stuff. And you'd think that this was, you know, the biggest piece of journalism on this Trump administration proving that he's incapable of doing the job. The White House is chaotic. No one's running the show. That's the way that they're spinning this when the actual piece, you know, it's got some things in there that you might be surprised by. But I think even the J.D. Vance conspiracy theorist thing, that was taken out of context. He joked about it when he was on, you know, somewhere doing a speech a couple of days ago. So a lot of that is the sins of journalistic omission is what I like to call them, Scott.
Yeah, this is the greatest failing of modern political media. The focus on things that only matter to a handful of Beltway insiders.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
That people out in the middle of the country could give a rip about. I mean, look, it's politicians in Washington flapping jaws about other politicians. And, you know, we spend all of our time covering it and we act like it's a big deal. But the only reason they do that is because they think, well, we can use this to try to destabilize or distract or somehow hurt Trump today. I mean, that's the core of it. I mean, the only reason anybody would read any of this and focus on it is because they think it's bad for Trump. All day long yesterday, I was hearing about Trump's poll numbers. Oh, his poll numbers are down. That's why he has to speak to the country. Nobody was willing to mention that the Democrats have an 18% approval rating in the latest Quinnipiac survey until I brought it up. It's all Trump all the time. Any little thing to destroy Trump, that's what they're going to do. And this Vanity Fair thing, it'll come and go. It's not going to matter that much. But, you know, in that one moment, hey, we could use it to hurt Trump. So let's do it all day long. And then we wonder, why isn't anybody watching?
Well, and then to your point, here's the CNN guy, Harry Enten, talking about this and the polling. Fascinating when you think about it.
How are voters feeling about Democrats right now?
Yeah, I mean, Democrats in the minds of the American public are lower than the Dead Sea. What are we talking about here? Well, let's take a look. The net approval rating for Democrats in Congress, you said it, Kate Baldwin, the lowest ever. Look at this. Overall, they are 55 points underwater. Their approval rating is south of 20%.
Oh, Harry, I don't know Harry Enten, but he gets very excited about these poll numbers, and that's not good news, but I'm not hearing a lot of hour after hour discussion about those poll numbers, Scott.
No, that came out, you know, it came out yesterday. That was Harry this morning. Harry actually will call balls and strikes on this stuff, but he's about the only one. And, you know, Democrats are suffering. They're languishing. They've not done anything in the last year to improve their own standing with the American people. I think it's because of their adherence to doing anything and everything for illegal aliens and criminals, violent criminals and so on. I mean, if you spend all your time on that, what do you expect? There's all this focus on Trump. Did you know Trump right now in the averages is more popular today in his second term than where Obama was in his and where Bush was in his? So it's incremental, but he's a little higher than them. So what's going on with Trump is really not historically unusual. What's going on with the Democrats is extremely unusual. 18%, they are down to friends, family, illegals, transgenders, and health insurance executives. That's who they got left in the Democrat Party right now. It's terrible.
There are a lot of people who are on our side. I'm you know, kind of tracking this the last few weeks. I find folks, and I think you might be in the camp that says, look, the economy, look, we got great numbers on inflation today. We're going to roll into 2026. Scott Bessent saying good things, obviously. But then there's some, I've been in the panicking camp a little bit. I was in the spring with the tariffs, but, you know, I've been looking at my 401k lately, and I'm quite happy. But on some of this other stuff with the economy, like Sean Spicer a couple weeks ago was on, he's very panicked about some of these numbers and what they mean for the midterms. And then others, don't worry about it. So where are you on that? Because obviously, that's another one of the narratives already. It's all about the midterms because we got to focus on, you know, bad things about Trump.
Inflation cooled today, 2.7%. The expected number was 3.1. That's a good thing. If you talk to Hassett and you talk to Bessent, they'll tell you they are in full expectation mode for a boom this year. Energy prices are continuing to come down. That lowers the cost of inputs. That helps agriculture. It helps anybody who's using a lot of power, like manufacturing. So there's just a lot of optimism about the policies they put in place last year, 25, booming and coming to fruition in 26. So look, I'm an optimistic person. I believe in lower taxes. I believe in less regulation. That's what they gave the American people. And I have to believe it's going to bear fruit. I think for the argument, though, for the election, Mark, I think Trump has to continue to ring this bell. You don't understand how bad it was when we got here.
Yep. Yeah.
And I mean, you can't let them get away with having amnesia about the 4 years of ruination they put upon this country.
But that's what they want to do. And that's, you know, even with the Chris Whipple thing, I think that's where, you know, the left's looking for an opportunity. They don't want to talk about those six. I mean, the border in and of itself, I'm pretty sure the border is what really turned, not that my wife wasn't going to vote for a Republican anyway, but what turned her into someone who was more interested in what was happening on the planet. She didn't used to watch a lot of, you know, news. She'd filter it through me, which I don't know if that's a good thing. But man, that border issue pissed her off so much. And then some of the other culture issues, obviously. But she's more engaged than I've ever seen her in her life. Well, Jennings, what's on tonight? We air the radio show at 8 p.m. here on 97.1 FM Talk. A little preview of that.
Yeah, great show. Alex Marlowe, the editor-in-chief of Breitbart, and I had a great conversation about the news of the day. And then I just wrapped it up live. I just did a great talk with Senator James Lankford of Oklahoma. He went over the news of the day. We got to talk about the breaking news on the reclassifying marijuana. Lankford reacted to that. We talked about Venezuela, healthcare. So really, news of the day from a Senate insider, James Lankford. It's a great talk, and you'll hear it tonight at 8 o'clock.
Where are you? I think you know this. My wife works in the cannabis industry. I've been watching this, and I was hoping this was going to happen for a while now. And I don't know if what your thoughts were during the show or Senator Lankford's, but I'm glad that the president did it personally.
Lankford was opposed. He did not like it. And I did note that the president got a letter from some more conservative Republicans encouraging him not to do it. Their view is this encourages people to believe that this is a good thing to do. So there are differences of opinion. Now, the president in his remarks today, which I played on the show, he noted that like 82% of the American people approve of this move. So this is an example of Trump the popularist, I think. He sees a poll and he realizes it's going to be a popular thing to do. He's going to get a little resistance in the conservative flank. It's not full legalization for recreational purposes, so that'll probably keep the criticism of him muted.
Yeah, but it's what it, and I don't want to get into it right now. I talked about it a little bit earlier, but it frees up a lot of some of the banking rules and things like that that the industry has been struggling with. And yeah, I don't think it's for everyone. I'm not telling people to go out and smoke weed, but I'm a libertarian on that issue, Jennings. Mm-hmm. Have a great Christmas. Merry, merry Christmas to you. Congratulations on all your success this year. Enjoy some time, though, with the family in Louisville, and we'll soon enough be talking about Cardinals baseball and all that folly after the first
Mark,
of the year.
I love you, brother. Merry Christmas. Best to your family, and I hope to see you soon.
Thank you, Scott. We'll see you.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.